Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight?
Everybody be free. Everybody be free. God bless you. Welcome to our Saturday Lit Lessons as we're going over knowing God's will and just breaking it down for everyone that's here today on Saturday. You beautiful women of God and Sister Connie and everybody else that's on the line today. What we'll do, you all, is that I will open up the lines if you have any questions or comments. If you missed our Saturday Lit Lessons on Knowing God's Will, you can always go back. Everything we do on this number, on this platform, is archived, so you can go back and listen to it to get caught up. You can slow it down, write it down, so you can have it for yourself, amen, and that you can share it with others. Remember, whatever you receive here, make sure that you're sharing it with someone. It is not for us to keep to ourselves, but to share with one another, amen, so that others may be filled, so that others may be transformed by the word of God, amen. So, you all, we're going to talk about, like I said, if you miss other lessons, you can always go back. We're studying Knowing God's Will. So we're picking right back up. We left off a couple of weeks ago. We had taken a couple of weeks off because Pastor Manning had an incident on his job, so we weren't able to be on. But we thank God that we are back, and we're ready to keep on pressing on in to receive what God has for us. So let us pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, that you allowed us to come and to receive in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you for this set time, oh God. We thank you for keeping us, oh God. We thank you, oh God, it's you that have saved us, oh God. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your presence, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that even right now that you're moving mighty concerning your daughter Carol, your daughter Marisha, your daughter Joy, your daughter Pam, your daughter Carney, your son Dorsey, and everyone else that's on the line that tuned in today. In the name of Jesus Christ, bringing healing to our bodies, strength to our bones, peace to our life, oh God, provisions, oh God, making the way where it seemed to be no way, Father God, making those things that the enemy has caused, division, that you're bringing unity right now in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Nazareth, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your protection, oh God. Lord, we ask you to move mighty, oh God, like never before in our lives, in the life of our family members and loved ones, oh God. Lord, we ask, oh God, as we go forth in this lesson today, that you open up our understanding, oh God, and bless us with revelation and knowledge and wisdom of your word so that we can apply it to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. Lord, we ask you to allow the scripture and what is learned on today to take root in us and manifest in our actions in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and help us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you will keep us in perfect peace. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against every unteachable spirit on the line, every hindering spirit, spirit of confusion, spirit of fear. We come against every rebellious spirit, every fighting spirit, familiar spirit that will stop us from receiving on the call today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we declare and declare right now in Jesus Christ's mighty name, in the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are victorious in this life in all that we do according to the will of God. And we just want to say thank you. We bind our minds right now with the mind of Christ and our will with the will of God, our Heavenly Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to hear from y'all this afternoon, so I want to open up your line. Marlisha, how you doing?
Quite great this morning. I'm blessed.
Amen. God bless you. God keep. Amen. Sister Pam, how you doing this morning? Afternoon. I'm
sorry. Great. I feel good. I am good. Good day so far.
Amen.
I'll let you know by 9 o'clock.
Glory to God. Jesus is already well. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Jordan, how you doing? God bless you.
Yes, ma'am. All is well. Blessing. Today's a blessed day. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Sister Dilla, Mama, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing? I'm doing good. Amen.
Good. Amen. Women of God. Sister Connie Norgan, how you doing? Welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. Yes,
good afternoon.
I'm good today. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Amen. And everyone else that's on the line, if I didn't open up your line, I don't know your number. I know their numbers. And if you're tuned in by the website and you want to get on the line with us so we can hear your voice, just give us a call at 845-277-9213. That way you'll be able to ask any questions or give any comments regarding the lesson. So welcome everybody again, those that I know, those that I don't know. Welcome. I understand some people don't want to say anything, and that's okay, as long as you're receiving and as long as you're in a place to receive and willing to give to others. Amen. So y'all, so we're going to talk about God's spirit. God's spirit. Knowing God's will isn't simply a matter of reading the Bible, y'all, and then trying our hardest to do what it says. So that approach is no different than the ancient people of God under the old covenant of futility, you all, trying to keep the law of Moses. So no, under the new covenant, you all meditated. I'm sorry, I'm having some issues with my mouth again, but we trust God all will be well. Yeah. So I'm going to say that again. No. Now, under the new covenant, meditated by Christ, you all, we see in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, if you have your Bibles. Amen. In the book of Hebrews 8 through 10, I'm sorry, Hebrews 8 through 10, you all, God doesn't just tell us how to live from afar. He comes to live in and through us. Amen. See, new life in Christ isn't a matter of us having to rely on our own strength. It's us getting to rely on God's indwelling spirit. A lot of times we end up failing and we end up getting frustrated and become depressed and we shut down and we run away because we're trying to do things in our own strength. How many of us can admit that I've tried to do it in my own strength and I'm going to see what I can do and I got it. and then you fail, and then you find things was worse than when they started off for you. So it is not for us to rely on our own strength. It's us getting to rely on God's indwelling spirit. Amen. Indwelling spirit. You all consider all the Holy Spirit does to help believers know and do the will of our Father in heaven. Amen. The Spirit, amen, of God, the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. It engineers spiritual life and growth. It intercedes, it prays for the people of God. It enables believers to serve God. It indwells in believers. It leads believers in the way they should go. Amen. It leads us, you all, in the way that we should go. We are, when I say believers, we are believers, those that believe. And it's for the believer. You only can receive the Holy Spirit and operate in it, and it operate through you, is that you have to believe, hallelujah, the one who God sent. Hallelujah. And if you have that and you believe, then if you believe in Jesus Christ, who God sent, and when you believe in Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit because he sent the Holy Spirit, our comforter, to lead us, to guide us, to intercede for us. So the Holy Spirit, you all, it guides believers into truth and reveals what is yet to come. Amen. It strengthens the followers of Jesus to resist sinful urges. It makes it possible for believers to have access to God. It gives believers supernatural abilities to use in building others up. Amen. It empowers Christians to share the good news of Jesus. It prompts believers to carry out the specific will and purposes of God. It produces godly character qualities in believers. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, you all. So what a resource, amen? What a resource. Not only do we have the treasure chest of truth, that is the Word of God, we also have the Spirit of God to help us understand what God has said in his Word. It's as we unbelieve, amen, and diligently study the scriptures that we find ourselves being taught, rebuked, corrected, equipped, and guided by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. You all, in the New Testament, it also makes it clear that it is possible for believers to resist the work of the Spirit in our lives. So we have to be careful, you all. We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 30. Or quench the spirit. So I want Sister Dilla, you have your Bible with you there?
Yeah.
Amen. Can you go over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30?
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30.
Chapter 4, verse 30. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And everyone that's on the call, can you go there if you have your Bibles with you, Ephesians, so you can lay your eyes on yourself so you can look for yourself.
Oh, I feel like I'm passing it up and I go by and make it. All right, I pass it up.
Oh, just take your time.
Ephesians chapter 4,
oh,
verse,
verse
11.
30. Ephesians
verse
chapter
30.
4.
Mm-hmm. Verse 30. Amen. And I'm reading
Amen.
From King James Version, and it said, and
okay.
grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we see it right here in the scripture. Give me a moment, you all. This is with my phone, sorry. Amen. So we see it right here in scripture. Amen. So obviously, you all, one either is counter to doing the will of God. So apart from the Spirit, amen, apart from the Spirit of truth guiding us and applying the Word of truth, we really can't know God's will, much less do it. So we have to understand this in order to be able to know the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So does anyone have any questions so far? And I'm going to open up your line. If you have any questions, please ask at this time. So I have a line open up. You can just speak whenever you. If you have any questions or comments, anyone?
Okay. I have some.
Okay.
on the scripture part, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What are they saying by that?
Okay, let me break that down for you all. Huh?
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, so we can grieve the Holy Spirit by the way we live. So if our Paul warns us against unwholesome language, bitterness, improper use of anger, brawling, slander, bad attitudes towards others, instead of acting the way we should by forgiving others, just as God has forgiven us, we grieve the Holy Spirit. So when we don't have our attitude, it's not pleasing to God of our actions, we grieve the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us.
Oh, okay. So in other words, when we acting ungodly, we grieving the Holy Spirit. In other words, am I getting it right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So
yes.
If I be...
You're supposed to give forgiveness, but you decide, I'm going to be bitter, I'm going to be angry, I'm going to lash out, I'm going to cuss you out.
Yeah.
But you know better. The Holy Spirit is in you. So you begin to grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
we should be forgiving you all, just as God has forgiven us. It's so important. And I ask that question, are you, any of us on this line, are you grieving or pleasing God with our attitudes and our actions? Are you? So ask yourself that today. Am I grieving or am I pleasing God? Or am I pleasing God? You know, we have to be careful how we must always act in love towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it's very important that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Does anyone else have any questions or comments? All right. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to.
Amen.
Your lines are open, you all, for the most part, because I know they will start hollering on the phone. Sister, don't do no hollering on the phone today.
I won't. Ain't nobody here to holler.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
okay. So, y'all, we talk with the Spirit. Let's talk about the Spirit and the Word. Do you remember the promise Jesus made to his followers the night before he was crucified? Jesus said, you all, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not, hallelujah, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Amen. If you go over to the book of John, St. John, chapter 16, verse 13. That's St. John.
Amen.
Amen. Marlisha, do you have it?
Yes, ma'am.
Marlisha?
Hell, can you hear me?
Yes. Do you have a scripture for us, John 16 and 13?
You said John 15 and 13? Yes, ma'am.
16, 16, 1, 6, 1, 3. Can you read it for us?
You said John 16.
Verse 13.
All right, I'm reading out of the King James Version. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Amen. So we see right here in scripture, you all, notice that Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Amen. And when we look in John 14 and 17 and 15 and 26 as well, so later that same evening, Jesus mentioned God's word of truth in John 17 and 17. And I'll read it to you all, John 17 and 17, out of the New King James Version. The Bible says, John 17 and 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen? Your word is truth. So the Spirit of truth and the word of truth, practically, you all, this means we'll never face a moment in life when God's word leads us one way and God's spirit guides us another. So the spirit will never prompt us to do anything that is contrary to God's word. Amen. According to Apostle Paul, the spirit doesn't oppose the word. And then when we look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 17, amen. Ephesians, go right back over to Ephesians, Sister Billy. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 17.
Okay. One second. Ephesians 6:17.
Yes, ma'am.
6:17. Okay. Mm-hmm. Reading again out the King James Bible. It said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen. So, according to Apostle Paul, the Spirit doesn't oppose the word. He wills the word. He wills the word. W-I-E-L-B-S. He wills the word. Amen? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Does anyone have any questions or comments so far? I don't want to move too fast and leave anybody behind.
Mm-hmm. Who's the last verse you're reading out of?
Come again?
The last one that Pam had read, that was out of which one?
You said Marleisha?
Marleisha, whoever read the last verse before now, it was out of
the book of John.
Was it John?
The book
okay.
of John.
I had
uh-huh. 13 and 6.
Hold on, I think I had a question there. One second, let me go to John.
Marleisha, you read John 16 and 13, is that correct?
John 16 and 13,
yes.
All right, because I had highlighted. Okay, the spirit of truth, telling God is the truth, shall not speak and whoever shall hear. So in other words, I was reading it, say about the spirit of truth would come and he would guide you. The spirit would guide you,
yes,
would come and guide you, speak
mm-hmm.
to you. Okay.
Yes.
And whoever you should hear, that should he speak, he will show you things. So it'd be the Holy Spirit that comes speak to you.
Right. It's all taken on with the miracle and description. The truth into which the Holy Spirit guides us is the truth about Christ. So the Spirit also helps us through patient practice to discern right from wrong. So when you do something, we were talking about that the other day, is that you'll get convicted, like, oh, I shouldn't have did that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. You know, because it's the Holy Spirit that's in you that convicts you, saying that's wrong. No, make it right. Oh, you did too. Matter of fact, I need to go pay for this shampoo that was accidentally, I forgot to pay for it in my basket.
So
it'll convict you to do what's right. Now, you know you ain't said, take that on back in there, go back and apologize, go make it right.
Mm.
So Jesus said the Holy Spirit would tell them things to come. The nature of their mission, you all understand the opposition they would face on his disciples and the final outcome of the efforts. They didn't fully understand these promises until the Holy Spirit came after Jesus' death and the resurrection. Mm-hmm. So then the Holy Spirit revealed truths to the disciples that they wrote down in the books that now that we read of the New Testament. So even them at the time didn't understand until the Holy Spirit came, and then they had an understanding. That's the same thing with us. So the Holy Spirit will direct us and guide us, and then it will convict us to do what's right. Amen. Is everybody understanding? Is you, Sister Bill, and everybody else on the line today?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, when you put it that way, yeah, I had a whole bunch of those. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, y'all, let's talk about God's people. I'm going to silence the line. I'll open it back up so we don't get everybody's background. Amen, because sometimes we have. Okay. All righty. Let's talk about God's people. The spiritual life, you all, was never meant to be a solitary, you know, to be isolated and be by oneself, an independent experience. We were designed for intimate relationships, created for life in interdependent community with God and others. Understand this. This is why Apostle Paul ingeniously, you all, likened the people of God to a body, and a body with Christ as the head, and each person as a distinct part, according to 1 Corinthians 1 and 12. So if we go over to 1 Corinthians 1 and 12, I'm sure you all heard the song, "We're All a Part of God's Body." And so if we go over to the book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 12, and I'll read it here, coming out the King James Version, New King James Version. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I wanted to read the whole thing, but if you go over there for yourself, you can write that down and go back to it, as it talks about the spiritual gifts of unity and diversity. The unity, it talks about the unity and diversity in one body. If we look in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it'll talk about the members of Christ's body. And this is Apostle Paul that was speaking here. He says, and I'll read just a little bit of it. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 that I'm starting at, 12 and 12. So it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Amen? Amen. So when you have opportunity, you can read that for yourself. So it's a brilliant analogy, you all, that Apostle Paul used here. You don't have to be enrolled in medical school to know that a severed finger or a plucked eyeball or a surgically removed liver wouldn't survive very long out there in the world, riding around in an Uber, sitting in some coffee shop all by itself. See, each body part needs vital connection. Hallelujah. Each body part needs vital connection with all the others to function healthily. You ought to be healthy and to function healthily and properly and effectively. Amen. So in the same way, we believers desperately need one another. Amen. This surely explains why a dozen of times in the New Testament, writers emphasize all the things that followers of Jesus are to do for each other or for one another. See, it's through actions, you all, like accepting one another, loving one another, showing hospitality to one another, amen, forgiving one another, encouraging, serving one another, teaching one another, modeling and correcting and praying for one another, that the community of faith helps us grow. Amen. So we could think about it this way, you all. The Word of God shows us the way to live. The Spirit of God empowers us to live that way. The people of God come alongside of us as we walk by faith. Amen. So we all need God's people speaking truth into our scared, sometimes stubborn hearts. Amen. So we need others to whisper encouragement into our worn-out souls. You all, we need wiser saints who can share their wisdom. King Solomon understood the importance of counselors, mentors, and elders writing this legacy of wisdom. Plans fail for lack of counsel. When we look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15 and 22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. You can go through it for yourself. The book of Proverbs, chapter 15 and 22. Y'all, excuse me because I'm having some issues with my mouth for the last couple of days. I've been pressing forward. I'm not sure what's going on with my tongue, my mouth, and all that, but all is well. So just please bear with me on this speech. So we look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 22. The Bible says, "Without counsel, plans go awry, you all, but in the multitude of counsels, they are established." So the same, depending on what version that you're reading from today, are you coming out of? So it comes down to this. Do you really want to know and do God's will for your life? That is a question. Then get in a Bible study. Get in a Bible study group, a group of spirit-led believers like we are today. If you're not a part of the Gospel Public Ministries, and even if you are, if not, you can always join us here, those that are visiting, those that are online. But it's so important, you all, that we get into a group where we can have Bible study and being led by spirit-led believers. Amen. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God, that's the trifecta, you all, of knowing God's will. I said it again, that's the trifecta of knowing God's will. Amen. So let's talk about God's mission, you all, here. And I hope you all are enjoying this time of led teaching. Does anyone have any questions? Marlisha, Jordan, Sister Billard, Pam, or Sister Connie, anyone else on the line?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm all right. Right. No, God I'm bless. Right. I'm good. Let me see. I don't have any.
Okay, good. All right, we're going to move forward. We have about 14 more minutes left here in our lead lessons on today, and we'll wrap up here shortly here. I want to talk about God's mission. Amen. A 30,000-foot view of the life and ministry of Jesus shows his mission, you all, as being one of seeking and saving the lost. When we look in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10. Jordan, if you have your Bible with you, if you can read that for us today, I would really appreciate that. The book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Okay, chapter 19. Come again, I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Hold on. It says, I'm reading out of King James Version.
And then?
King James Bible. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. So we see it right here in Scripture, you all. We see it right here in Scripture. That he came, amen, that Jesus came, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which that was lost. Amen. So how he go about accomplishing this is the question. He began by calling people to repent, believe the gospel, which is the good news, and follow him. We see this in the book of Mark. It says, after dying on the cross to take away the sins of the world, Jesus rose from the dead, amen, before returning to heaven. He told his disciples, all those who did believe in him and follow him, to repeat the process of going and making other disciples all over the earth. When we look in the book of Matthew, amen, Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, Sister Pam, you have your Bible with you? Amen. Sister Pam, you got the Bible?
Matthew, what?
Chapter 28, verse 18 through 20.
Okay, Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, take your time.
You said Jesus came. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading out the study Bible.
Amen.
Okay. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Amen.
You said verse
22? No, 20. That's it. Thank you. God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you. Amen. So we see it here in the scripture, and we can lay our eyes to it ourselves and witness to it for ourselves. So understanding what the scripture is saying here and understanding God's mission through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So that's a concise overview that we've seen to give us a broad outline for the life of Christ's followers. So or we might say a believer's job description. So we should be devoted to two tracks that are both God's will for our lives, whether the maturity track and the mission track. Come and be my disciple is a maturity track. Go and make disciples is the mission track. Knowing Jesus and growing in the faith is the maturity track. And the mission track of helping others know Jesus and grow in faith. And the maturity track, a life with Jesus. And the mission track is a life for Jesus. And I hope you all understand the two, the maturity track and the mission track, where we are and what we are supposed to do. Where we are, you know, come and be my disciple is the maturity track. Knowing Jesus and growing in faith is maturity track. A life for Jesus, amen, is the maturity track. And the mission track, again, is go and make disciples, helping others know Jesus and grow in faith and a life for Jesus, living a life for Jesus. Amen. Amen. How many are willing to live your life for Jesus? How many of you are willing to come out of self and do what God has for you to do? Amen. How many of you all decided, you know what, I'm going to give up the world and my flesh and desires, and I'm going to do all that God has called me to do? How many of y'all willing that God's will be done in your life and have the mind of Christ arise and operate in you and through you? Amen. Will you receive it today and will you walk in it? Hallelujah. Forever. What's that song say? I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. How many of us have decided to follow Jesus and no turning back? Hallelujah. No matter what men try to shake in front of us or try to get us to come this way or tempt us, hallelujah, I want you to know that you are overcoming. You will overcome every temptation of this world because you have, hallelujah, the resurrection power working on the inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit of the living God, amen, that's working on the inside of you. So you're already more than a conqueror because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. So let me just continue on here. I just wanted to go to the end there. So, you all, we can't say it enough, you all. So much of God's will for our lives has already been revealed in God's word. We were created by and for God. We have been designed to glorify him and to love him with all our hearts. We've been called to follow Jesus and help others to do likewise. We've been instructed to love each other and to serve others with all the blessings and resources that God has given us. Amen. You got to ask yourself, what am I giving people? When I see someone, what am I giving them? You know, am I loving on them? And am I giving them the good news of the gospel? Am I pouring into them? And I tell them that God loves them. What am I giving them? Am I giving them gospel mess and stress? You know, think about what are you giving people? What do you want to give people? Give them something they can eat on after they leave you and still be full and give it to others. Give them the word of God. People need love. They need to know. People are looking for an example of Christ. People are looking, God is looking for the ones that he can use, amen, to be that example here in the earth so others may come to him, amen, that you may be that example, amen. See, you, I want you all to understand these things will always be true, you all, no matter where or if you go to college, regardless of whom you marry or don't marry, irrespective of what job you choose or what your zip code is, amen. The mission God, hallelujah, has given us as followers of Jesus means that we need to think differently about the decisions we make daily. What if we rephrase the question we typically ask when wrestling with big choices in life? Instead of asking which of these two jobs possibilities pays better, ask where can I see myself having the biggest impact for Christ? That's why I said that. Okay, a lot of times we're looking at the money and the benefits, but when you get to that point in your life, when you ask that question, where can I see myself having the biggest impact for Christ, where God can use me, amen? Instead of asking, should I marry this attractive, fun, interesting person, or ask, can I see the two of us growing spiritually together and serving God effectively together, amen? That should be our number one priority, is serving God all the days of our life and every choice that we make and making that choice based on if we're going to be able to serve God and be effective in the kingdom of God and helping others to grow as we grow ourselves. Instead of asking, should I buy that newer, bigger house or car, ask with that bigger mortgage payment, stretch me financially to the point that I could no longer be generous as I have been. Because a lot of times we get in a place where we're stretch ourselves thin, so we're not able to give and pour and sow like we did before, because now we put ourselves in more debt, so now we're stretching ourselves thin. Amen. I want you to understand that, you all, it is important that we understand God's will for our life. We need to understand that this is how, many ways that we understand how God wants us to operate according to his will and not our will, and his plan and his purpose for our life. And we know anything that God does is good. All good things coming from the Lord. Amen. Does anyone have any questions before I go on and get ready to close out here? Anyone, Marlisha?
I'm good, Apostle. Thank you.
All right. Amen. All right. What about you, Sister Pam? Pam? What about you, Pam? I'm not sure what happened to Pam. All right. Hopefully y'all can hear me.
I'm good.
All right. All right. What about you, Sister Jordan?
Yes, ma'am. Good. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. How are you, Sister Dillard, Mama?
Amen. I'm good. Very well. Well,
amen. Amen. What about you, Sister Connie?
Yes, everything is good. I received it. It was a good lesson. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless everyone. My phone is about 7% here. But I want to just go over just a few more things here before we wrap up the call today. And just thanking God. Next Saturday when we get back on the line, we'll be wrapping up God's will, knowing God's will. If you've missed the other lessons, you can always go back, you all, and listen to those yourself to kind of get a little bit more understanding, clarity of God's will for your life. You know, God's plan for our lives, amen, as believers, amen. It's so important that we know that God's will, understanding God's will. What I just want to say is, this is a question, how did God reveal his will in Bible times? And I want to explain it to you all just a little bit here before we close out. There are many in the Bible that God used to show and to reveal his will. In the Bible, you all, when we look at, and we're talking about the means of revelation, the description, and the different examples, even in miracles, you all, the means of revelation and miracles. In that description, God employed miracles, also called signs, and sometimes his will was confirmed, you all, through very unique signs, such as Gideon putting out fleeces for reassurance about what God was calling him to do. And we see this in the book of, and in the New Testament, in Exodus and Judges, and as well as John. We saw this in the writings as well. God gave Israel a comprehensive code of conduct, which was the law, even writing part of it on stone tablets. King Belshazzar in the Bible saw a giant mysteries handwrite messages on a plastered wall. We see this in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus and Daniel, and different objects, you all, as well. God authorized the use of the Urim and the Thummim, you all, which were tokens or stones, and somehow no one knows for sure how, helped disclose God's will. But God also guided his people through the casting of lots, an ancient version of flipping a coin or rolling dice. We see this in the Old and the New Testament, in the book of Exodus and Numbers and Proverbs, and also in the book of Acts in chapter 1, verse 26. Also the voice, the revelation of voice, you all, God spoke to people, giving them directives, promises, covenants, and insight into what would happen. Around 90 times from Genesis to Deuteronomy, we find the phrase, the Lord spoke to Moses. Amen. And the angels, heavenly messengers, were sent by God to reveal his plans to his people. We see this in the book of Genesis and the book of Luke. also through dreams, you all. God was revealing his will in the Bible. God unveiled his plans and purposes and special dreams. And through those whom God gifted with interpreting those dreams, we see this in the book of Genesis, the book of Daniel, and in the book of Matthew. Amen. And then last but not least, theophanies, you all. Theophanies, you all, were appearances by God in human form. So some theologians, you all, believe these may have been appearances by the pre-incarnate Christ. Amen. And we see this in the book of Genesis, starting in chapter 18 through. So you all, I hope that this lesson on today of knowing God's will help us to understand a little bit more, you all. Also, the prophets, during those times, God spoke through the prophets and seers, both through their words and through their strange actions, their sign acts, and or object lessons and visions were given. God gave some people supernatural visual glimpses of things to come and divine commands to obey. And we see this from the Old and the New Testament. So may God add a blessing to you all, the readers, the hearers, and the doers of his word. May you all be blessed. Amen. May God bless you in your going and coming on today. May you continue to seek God always for all wisdom and knowledge. Amen. And that you may walk in all that God has called you to, reassuring more that God is with you and that if God be for you, who could be against you? May God bless you. Father God, I ask that you bless all that's on the call. Lord, we leave this line, but never your presence, oh God. Lord, we pray for your protection, oh God, that your angels will go before us, protecting them in all their ways from seen and unforeseen dangers of this world. We bless your holy name, Father God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. You all, before I close out, I just want to ask, does anyone have any questions? I'm going to open up your line. If you do, just go ahead. If not, say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All right, ladies. God bless you all, ladies, men and women of God. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. And those of us that are on the call tonight for prayer, I'll see you all at 9 o'clock on our prayer call. God bless you. God keep you. I love you. And I thank God for you. You all be safe. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good day, y'all.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past. Home at last, ever to rejoice.
I wanna hear him say,
give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that. How can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayed up for all of my days. Until I finally stop breathing, yeah.
One time, one time.
One time, one time.
One time, one time.
Oh, I just want
get there on a great day. But when I get to heaven, gonna sing.